Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. I got a bunch of information over the weekend, so I decided I would jump ahead a little bit regarding to putting out programs. I think it's important that we understand certain things. I get a lot of calls all the time, and I had a targeted individual come up to visit me from Tennessee, and so I was displaying some of the work I've got in the shop that I'm working on and developing, a lot of the prototypes I'm working on to further disengage access to us and access to programming, different coil technologies I'm working on, and other things in regard to diet and foods and stuff like this. So I'm constantly looking at different things and what I'm doing. And I every now and then I get visitors to pop by, so I show them what's going on. I wanted to kind of go over some things in a way. I wanted to reemphasize something. I told you my story about how I got hit initially when I got hit with the Nano, and I had the voice of the skull hit me. And I'm hoping that what I stated would offer some encouragement and also some fortification. And I mentioned in there as well, what to do, how to have an attitude and a tenacity to fight. What I'm hearing from a lot of targeted individuals is, that they are being assaulted. Well, that's what makes you a targeted individual. You're being assaulted with either frequencies, with activation of nano poisoning, nano assemblage, synthetic life. You're being targeted in regarding to your health, your biological health, mental health, emotional health. And when you're getting hit with the head, you have to have in you, and I've stated this before, you have to have an attitude in regarding to being just as resistant to it as it's coming in your head. A lot of times I get people telling me the same thing. No matter where I go, I'm getting targeted. But that's what that means. When you're being targeted, it means no matter where you go into a grocery store, you go into a church, you go into a mall, you go into a shopping center, you're going to work, wherever, you're going to get hit. People have cell phones. People don't understand the nature of a cell phone, how a phone is a form of weaponization and brain hacking, and it allows transmissions to be transmitted through even people. I'll give you an example. I walked to a store one day and I got hit with a facial recognition program. I could feel it because it disorientated me for about 10 seconds. But everybody that was coming out that had the cell phone on, I was getting hit with, now whether that was planned, whether that was coincidental, just so happy people were coming out with getting on their phone, who knows for sure. I couldn't tell you, I can't say yes, it was a direct assault, direct target. It could have been. But it also may be that everybody came out with a cell phone on, which is a normal activity. And again, it could have been, the phone could have activated them to turn the phone on, since it does have frequencies going on all the time. And when they walked by me, they further kept me in a state of disorientation for probably no more than 15, 20 seconds. But I being aware of the fact that this stuff exists gives me the edge, because once I see it and I feel it or it hits me, I can then know that is what's going on. Sometimes you get this lightheaded effect when you walk into a store, all of a sudden, or you're walking in a certain area, or you're driving down a certain area, so you feel like your head's getting a little bit lighter. That's because you're being hit at that point in time. You're being tracked, or you're being monitored, or something's happening. And I'm wearing around me, I've got my shielding on, I got my magnets on, and I think that does help as far as displacing some of the full impact of this tech. It doesn't stop it, doesn't resolve it. And my point I'm trying to get across here is you have to start thinking in these terms. Okay, probably 10% of the population on the world level, if we have 7 billion people, which I doubt, I think we have more like 3.5 billion. But let's say we have even 3.5 billion. That means only 350 million people on the planet worldwide are awake. If we have 7 billion people and you believe that number, then that means we only have 700 million people on a worldwide level that are awake. And probably I would say 90 to 95% of them are isolated and alone. Because there is a certain phobia that goes along with this. You don't know who you're going to, you can trust. You don't know who you can believe. You don't know if the person beside you is an agent. You know, they've got this down to a point where we're almost xenophobic. And I have no answers for this. I truly do not have a clue on how to resolve this at this point. A lot of people contact me because I have been a voice and I've been vocal in regarding to all these things from nanopoisoning, synthetic biology, synthetic assaults. And with the latest thing I've got, I wanted to pause. I'll show you a video where a guy took pictures of rain, collected rainwater and then looked under the microscope and it looked like something was moving in the rain. In other words, a synthetic biology, probably a nanomimetic, in my humblest estimation. I don't have a scope and I couldn't see it. I mean, I could see what was going on, but to actually identify this as some kind of life form, it may be, it could be a synthetic life. More than likely it is. It's been genetically altered or genetically engineered so that it can now come down in the rainwater, that the water itself is enveloping this to carry it into the earth. This is a far, far cry from what the Chinese developed back in 1956 with their liposome hydrogel delivery method. And now we have this same kind of technology, but on a more advanced level, carrying a more biological agent. You ever notice, I'll get back to the TI thing in a second, you ever notice that you have these bugs that get into your house and they get into your refrigerator and they do not die? In fact, when the winter time comes, it seems like we have an abundance of these frickin' bugs coming into the house. That's because the biological activity of these bugs have been altered in order to survive the snowy climate. And when you think about the mutations that are occurring on a global level, and this is the best way to putting it, mutations are occurring on a global level. What we used to assume as safe or relatively, you know, harmless, may not be the case anymore. When we're talking, and see, this is the thing that the media does. They show us a mosquito that has evolved and become dangerous, and now we're trying to come up with nano robots that can mate with these mosquitoes, inject into them a genetic code to wipe them out, and then the mosquito develops an immune response to it, making them more dangerous than they were previously. These are mutations that are occurring. These are mutations that they have developed. And I always get this question asked me all the time, who are they? My response most of the time is, what do you care? They say, well, because they're going to get affected too. And I always say the same thing to them. What makes you think so? See, we are so small-minded. They have lowered everybody down to a level of a third-grade mentality. Because everyone is thinking, well, what about them? What about them? Who gives a flying flamingo about them? They're assaulting you. Instead of everybody jumping on a bandwagon and says, we are at war and we need to get these bastards and we need to take them out, we now are concerned about their well-being. Well, what about them? Who gives a flying flamingo about them? They don't give a shit about you. You're nothing but an experiment waiting to be exploited. You are nothing but a material that they can now try out their toys on, and you're worried about them. This is really, but this is what I'm saying, this is part of your programming. You're so concerned about your enslavers and your entrappers. You're so concerned about, well, don't they get affected too? Seriously, why would that come into the equation? You're the one being assaulted. If I came up to you and hit you as hard as I could, right across your jaw and broke your jaw, would you say, oh, what about me? What about you? Aren't you afraid your jaw may get broken? That's how ridiculous things sound to me sometimes when I hear people say stupid shit like this. You are under the gun. You are the lab rat. You are the experiment. Look, when Bill Gates, and you can go on any YouTube channel and you can type in Bill Gates explaining that vaccinations can do their job in reducing the population by 10 to 15%. Now, what the hell is that saying? That is saying that they're using vaccinations to target people to reduce the population on a global scale by 10 to 15%. 700 million plus people gone, dead, removed from the equation. We are, and now that's just with vaccinations. Okay, we're not talking nano at this stage. We're just talking simple genetic modification of a pathology or a chemistry that can be now induced through vaccination into a person, into a host. Let's call everybody what they are, a host. You're a host. You're not a people. You're not a person. You're a host. That's how the scientific community looks at you. Injecting inside the host a biology or a lab mutation inside of a host so that now it can take over the DNA and shut it down. Essentially, this is what's going on. You're no more than fodder. All you are. No more than fodder. Fodder to be used as they see fit. And the goofy thing here is the compliance. The compliance that everybody is willing just to sit there and comply to. Non-compliance would mean resistance. Compliance means just sitting there with your finger up your ass and doing nothing. That's called compliance. Let's just do nothing. We'll just sit here. Because, and this is the other excuse. And again, this is the program. This is the program running full on. What are we going to do about it? What can we do? That's what I hear all the time. Bunch of whiny suckholes that say, oh, what are we going to do about it? Instead of, let's see what we can find out, how to build something, how to research something, how to do something, how to come up with an answer to rebel and to set things straight. Now, back to the targeted individuals, after giving you that little speech. When we're dealing with what we're dealing with, this is all about your head. This is all about taking you over. This is all about keeping you in fear. Now, last week I did a show, a program on 5G, supercomputers hacking in the brain. And how it tries to create inside your head visions and dramas and circumstances to cause you to have a reaction, no matter what, irrespective of whatever that reaction is, based on whatever they're showing you. Sex for a sexual response, food for a food response, jobs for job response, security for security response, entertainment for an entertainment response, whatever it may be. Say you're some kind of spiritual person or some kind of person who believes in faith. All of a sudden there's, you know, whatever may pop up in your head, that you're now some kind of super guru, you're some super spiritual, you know, person that is sitting on Mount blah blah blah. And that you now are connected with the universe and you are one with God and whatever bullshit they're pumping through your head. And that's what it is most of the time. 99% of the time, it's bullshit. You have to know who you are, what you are, and you have to recognize that when you see these things, no matter how pleasant or how ugly they may be, there's a reality check that you have to have in your head. And this reality check is indicating that you know who who you are. And if you get these weird thoughts and weird visions and whatever, you have to say in your head, where is this coming from? You have to physically, or not physically, but mentally and maybe even verbally say, where is this coming from? And disregard it, no matter how pleasant it may be. I'll give you an example. I'll speak to the male population at this point. You're working and you got some money coming in. You got a house. You're saving up for a house. You got a nice car. You go to a pub or you go to a social event. You meet some gal, and then all of a sudden in your mind you're thinking, "Oh yeah, I want that one. That's the one. I feel a connection with her." Blah blah blah. And then you get into your head this whole dramatization going on in your mind, and then you decide you are going to engage this woman. Now I'm speaking through a heterosexual perspective, not any other perspective. You have another perspective that is for you to deal with. Now speaking from a heterosexual perspective, so now in your mind you think you are going to make this contact, this connection, and everything is going to be happily ever after, because that is what's running into your head. Then you proceed to make contact and find out that this woman really doesn't like you and wants nothing to do with you. So in your mind, you're thinking, well, I will change her mind. I will pursue her. I will do this. I will do that. Because in your mind, you still are thinking this utopian mentality that this woman is going to be the key to your eternal happiness, whatever that may be. Without thinking, without realizing, without even understanding that once you are involved with another person, that now whatever grief, hardship, or whatever idiosyncrasies that this person has, you now will take on as well. But see, you only see the one aspect of it. You see the veneer, you see that pretty, I can't say that, you see that face, that eye, you see the eyes, you see the face, you see the high beams, you see the tight tush, you see the orientation of the flower, you see whatever it is you see, the scent of it, whatever, and you're all enamored. That's the program running. There's a certain biological aspect to that, because again, men are men and they do get attracted to women. But then the thought process that goes along with it sometimes doesn't engage correctly. And you have to understand, in today's time, having a partner doesn't mean having somebody that just looks really good and has got a high performance body. You got a Bugatti for a body, but you got a 10-cent brain for an operating system. And that's what you're not seeing, and so you don't see that. That's the last thing most men see. Today, the reality is you see the woman, no visual in your head. You got to say, well, that's just illusionary, that is fantasy, whatever. And you got to call it for what it is. And then if you proceed to talk to the woman, you talk to her from a perspective of that she has something between her ears. Does she actually have a brain? Does it function? Or is she caught up on the matrix reality? And she's caught up on shopping and living her life based on some fantasy, spending money on useless things, and basically not wanting to have any kind of responsibility, or doesn't have or any understanding of life whatsoever. That's the reality check. And the same thing can apply to women. Women take a look at the guy, say, oh, look at the wallet. Look at the size of his wallet. And you go, yeah, that's for me. I can go shopping. But the same thing applies. If the guy doesn't have a brain between his ears and understands the value of this life, and all you see is that wallet may be tied to a humongous debt. House debts, insurance debts, car debts, business debts, financial, maybe he's on the cusp of financial ruin, but all you see is that thick wallet. Some of you are going to say, well, aren't you being a little bit shallow with the women? Women look at security. That's how women look at things. They don't care about the size of a man's wingding. They don't care about they look at some of the physicality. They got to like what they see as well. But they're looking for security. So you see that big, thick wall, you say, oh man, he looks like he could be, you know, a good catch. You have to evaluate that correctly as well, because he may be in debt up to, so far in debt, but for show, it looks really good. And again, it's a snare. So you have to think with a perspective, because again, the program will run through the head saying, oh, wow, this is great. He's got, wow, yes, man, and you jump right in. And it turns out, and it can turn out to be a disaster for either side. Okay. And the targeting at that point is to get you into that illusionary thinking, that medium that they show you through television about what is a, you know, a sound marriage or a sound relationship. That is all fantasy. Being married to somebody, like I said, means you're taking on that person's idiosyncrasies, and that means you also have to deal with your own idiosyncrasies. So when we're looking at that whole perspective, that delusion that gets pumped in and the fantasy that gets pumped in are the dramatizations that can occur. And this technology can make you feel like you're in some kind of ooh, yeah, or it can destroy a relationship. It can destroy a marriage, because it can create all kinds of issues, doubts, jealousies, anxiety, stresses, you know, making the partners, either one, see things that aren't really there, or blocking things that they should be seeing and they're not getting. You know, the illusion is always going to go on in the head, and this is how targeting can affect anybody. So whether you're single or married, you have to understand, or in a relationship, that the design of this technology is to put you in a place of compromise, subjugation, dysfunctionality, you know, disorientation. This is what it's all about. And if you are married with a partner, if both partners can see this aspect, you have a higher probability of getting through whatever, you know, the assault. If you don't have a partner seeing this and you are getting assaulted, chances are, because of the fact that you are targeted and they're not, it means that they've engaged you and not them. Now, this is what I've seen over the course of time with people that have contacted me who are targeted. A lot of couples have told me that initially they get targeted and their respective mates aren't getting it. In fact, they're not seeing it, they're not seeing anything, but they are getting hit. Usually within 1 to 2 years, after the initial assault is done with one partner, the second partner usually gets popped. Same thing with the nano poisoning. First person gets hit with the nano, they start having the lesions and the outbreaks and all these things. And then by the second, maybe the third year, the other partner now starts having the same assault go on. That's been what I have observed from the emails I get and from the calls I get and from people that contact me saying that they're targeted. And I get calls from all over the planet. This is not a Canadian issue, this is not an American issue, this is not a European issue, this is not a South American issue, this is not an Australian issue, this is not a New Zealand issue, it's not an Asian issue, this is a global assault all over. I get emails from all over the planet, Baltic region, Northern Europe, Southern Europe, Africa, Middle East, Far East. Like I said, Australia, New Zealand, I've had contacts even from China, surprisingly, Hong Kong, Thailand, Taiwan, I've had calls across the Caribbean, I've had calls all across South America, all across Canada, all across the U.S. So this is not a localized thing. I get calls from every part of the planet, and they are all telling me pretty much the same thing. The assaults are pretty much identical, with whatever variation there may be. When you are around other people that have cell phones, those phones are transmitting frequencies, and depending on what the phone they've got, 2, 3, or 4G, those frequencies are going to come through those phones in any direction. And if you happen to be between two people, three people, four people, five people, or you're in a group, you are going to get hit with those frequencies. And those frequencies can actively amplify what they're already doing. Wearing some kind of RF shielding will go a long way in protecting the body. Wearing a grounding strap or a portable ground is going to go a long way at dismissing some of this buildup that may be occurring. But the battle is still going to be in the head. And as long as you have this aspect of being a victim, you are a victim. Turn that around. Understand one thing here on this. You're a transceiver. And to make this very clear, a transceiver is somebody who can receive and transmit. Remember this. You receive and transmit. So transmit back to them how you really feel. Not your fear, not your anxiety, not your stress, not some whiny, crying, complaining, bitching, whatever. Tell them how you really feel. Tell them how angry you are that they have violated you. Tell them how pissed off you are that they even entered into your space without your permission. Tell them how enraged you are that they have violated your freedom. Tell them what you really feel and what you would do to them if they were in front of you right now. How you would handle them. What you would do to them. Put a picture in your mind of what would be done to them. That will go back to whoever's transmitting this, whether it be an AI or through some sort of person. Sometimes they got people that are hooked up to machines that are transmitting, but now they're using AI technology. And send that message back. Don't just send the message of, oh shit, you got me. Oh, please leave me alone. Oh, they're not going to do that. Once they know that you're a cowering, whiny crybaby, they are going to continue taking advantage of you. I told the story many a time. When I used to work in some places, I came across somebody that came from Vietnam. After the United States pulled out of Vietnam, and they all got on the boat to come to America or come to the West. And he told me that when he got on the boat was so overloaded that the boat was like almost even with the water, and they had to cross an ocean. And when he got on that boat, he said in his mind, he knew he was dead already. But he had nothing to lose. Couldn't stay where he was at. He had been collaborating. Their communities had been collaborating with the U.S. military. So they knew that there was going to be repercussions when the militaries came. So they decided they were all going to leave. And they were between a hard place and a rock. You know, not Iraq, a rock. And so they knew he was dead. He was dead either way. He stayed, he died. He took off on the ocean, he could be dead. Could be shark bait. So he got on that boat and they eventually made it to the West. And he says some boats didn't make it, some got flipped over and people died. We have a saying, in the group I'm with, and it goes a long way to giving you a reality check. We are already dead, all of us. We just haven't fallen down yet. And for those of you who think that's a little bit hard, I'll tell you what's harder. When you fall into the control of these elites and they just have their way with you and they put you in a state of complete terror, complete shock, complete fright to a point where you die of a heart attack or you are literally scared to death. Because of what they're putting into your head. We had a woman years ago that had been afflicted with the nano, and then she disregarded our warning with the spooky, activated, and it hyperactivated the assembly in her body. The stuff launched. Anyway, 2 years she kept saying to me, contact me, how when she tried to fall asleep, they made her wide awake. When she was when she was meant to be awake, they basically put her to sleep, paralyzed her body. I'm letting you know this, because this is what's going to happen if you decide to cower. They put horrific images in her mind, satanic images of all kinds. And she didn't, and she was just completely freaked out by what they did to her and her experiments. About 2.5 years they did this, and she finally died. Literally frightened to death. I'm telling you this story not to frighten you. I'm telling you the story so that you understand what you're dealing with. They do not give a shit about you. They don't care if you're afraid. They don't care if you're hurting. They don't care if you're terrorized. They don't care if you're freaked out. They don't care. And you shouldn't care about their welfare either. You should start thinking about you and how you're going to come up with a solution. Because in the long and short of it, you're the target. You're the individual that's being targeted. And there are means and ways you can create things in your home to defend against some of these frequencies, creating pulses, creating a static discharge, like through a Jacob's ladder, through anything that can create a spark for a short period of time, a Tesla tower, anything like that, like a zap, which can ionize the air. Creating the thing I showed on the upgrades and modifications with the fan and the coils, that'll go a long way. Setting even a bunch of them up in a space or in a room. If you are living with a spouse and she or he doesn't believe, then you're going to have to isolate yourself from the spouse, because they can actually carry the transmission from them to you as a result, because they're not really activated. But once they get activated, when they get activated, they are going to freak. And sometimes they may even say, well, it's because of you I'm getting this. You know, you've been saying this for so long, now it's happening to me. You may hear stupid shit like that too, and that's again coming from them. That is the assault that, again, and again, it's all about dysfunctionality. There was a guy, I forget what he was talking about male relationships, and he made a comment. Some of you guys have seen the video, I can't think of the guy's title, but he made a comment that if you cannot walk away from a relationship, then you don't need to be in that relationship. Because if you cannot walk away from a relationship, then that woman will control you, especially if you're a guy. Same with a woman. If you are in a relationship and the woman or a guy isn't really following it, not because they haven't been assaulted, you have to isolate yourself from that person. Have whatever connections you have. I'm not saying to break up or anything like that, but have your interactions. But at nighttime, you may have to sleep alone. At nighttime, you may have to, you know, be in a quarantined area where you got the place Faradayed and grounded, and you got toroidal fields going on. They may think you're crazy. Don't worry about it. Their time will come. You take care of you. You cannot allow these influences to get into you in the way here, because if you do, you will not last. I will tell you that straight out. You will not last. Okay, you have to literally disregard everything about you that can hinder you from coming up with solutions. You have to start thinking in terms, how do I block these transmissions? What do I got to do? One of the things you got to do is you got to remove the nano buildup in the body. You've got nanometal in the head. You go to different parts of the brain that assemble. Those particles then create networks within the brain which allow access to your head. when the AI goes into your head, it is searching for information about you to be able to be utilized against you, so that the technologies that are there can be utilized. Now, I'm going to go a little bit more into the AI systems, because I think you need to understand, again, the nature of what we're dealing with here. There's a thing called lethal autonomous robotics, and another one called autonomous weapon systems, where artificial intelligence and robots can make decisions on their own to assault and attack in any way they see fit. The lunacy here is this: the military-industrial complex has taught AI systems how to wage war. Now think about this for one little second. An artificial intelligence that writes its own program that nobody knows how it's doing it can now upgrade that information and modify that information to make itself even more lethal than what was originally intended. There is no way to stop it from advancing its ability to refine and to make more efficient a weaponized system that can effectively take you out. Now think about that for 1 minute. A system that can upgrade itself, write its own program without any intervention from any man or woman, and can take whatever it has and effectively and efficiently improve upon it 1,000-fold. Now, we have a voice-to-head technology from an AI network. Imagine it collects all the data from all the technologies that are out there. And you can go look on, you can go to type in, let me see if I got it here real quick. Where they put it? Over here? Yeah. Nope. Give me 1 second, I'll find this for you. You can type in PDF search engine, okay? PDF search engine. And you can type in, what I did anyway, and you can type in LAR, you can type in Nano Assault, you can type in AI Assault, all kinds. These are all PDF files. This is all data, military and educational data, whatever, that will show you what's already out there on this. And when you read some of the nonsense they're talking about, the human or the decision-making process that should be done by people in charge, AI does not need anybody in charge. In fact, it can autonomously make those decisions without any intervention, and can do this without any permission. Now imagine that. Imagine an AI network using the voice-to-skull technology that can access your brain and pull out memories and thoughts that might be there based on some biochemical reaction. It can induce some kind of a drama or some kind of visual, creating a chemical reaction which you can then analyze and decipher what that's doing, and then impose upon it some kind of program where it can now inject or interject into your head whatever it wants to get a reaction, to study the reactions that you are going to put out there. One thing about defiance, it works for us. It totally works for us. When we are told not to do something, we have a defiant nature to do it. And if anybody understands the defiance of us as a species, as a collective, as a people, how we become defiant through programming, and how we become defiant as a result of experiences that have maybe have accumulated over time, that have left us memories, so that we are not subjected to making the same mistake again, and we have a certain level of defiance, which can act as a protective mechanism. It can also act as an inhibitor as well. But when you're defiant with this technology and you tell it very, very precisely what you would do to it, if it's an AI, how would you, you would rip out every circuit, every RAM, every bit of memory, anything that it can store the data, how you would set it on fire, how you would engage a nuclear explosive, how you'd wipe it out with electromagnetic pulse, things like this, and you sustain that no matter what. Or if you think it might be somebody, some military industrial complex inducing something, you can say, well, we're both going to die one day. I'm just going to escort you to the throne. This kind of defiance is what's going to be required in order to make that stand. And there's no, you know, whatever you're afraid of, chances are it's because it was induced by television. You ever notice a lot of the violent shows, you know, where people are killing people, how they seem to slow that down and they amplify that effect so that when you see that kill shot or when you see somebody die, they got thrown out of a building, they got strangled, they got their head chopped off, they got shot, they exploded, whatever it may be that they show, they slow that down. They magnify and amplify that frequency of violence that they're showing you. And now all of a sudden that's embedded into your head, which now increases the capacity of being terrorized. So now you have this, these visions that may pop up coming from something you might have seen on television. What happens? What happens? That's when the fear factor comes in. You know, the pain of dying, the this or that, or the trauma, or the sheer horror of what you've just seen. And so as a result, you become intimidated. Be defiant. Be defiant. And what you, and how you become defiant in this situation is recognize that what is being transmitted through your mind and your head is a transmission coming from an outside source, which is trying to induce into your mind those things that they want you to fear, those things they want you to become disabled with, those things that they want you to become dysfunctional with, the concepts, which is all they are, of what may happen, could happen, possibly happen, but never does happen. We've all been through life, and we've all had trials and tribulations in life, and we've all lost things in this life, we've all gained things in this life, and we always remember what we've lost. We always remember what the trauma of the losses. We never really focus or get fixated about where what we have and where we're at today as a result of possibly why we lost those things. It allowed us to grow and evolve and get beyond a certain point. So when we get into the situation where we are again feeling some sort of traumatic mental imagery that comes through, you have to recognize at that point, and you won't recognize it at that point, you'll be sucked into the, you will be sucked into the dramatization or the visualization, and it will get you for a second, but you have to somewhere along the line recognize that this is in your head, and then state in your head, where is this coming from? And why am I thinking these thoughts? This is the big thing you need to ask us all the time. Why am I thinking these thoughts? These are not, I mean, I don't think this way. Why am I thinking these thoughts? Be that way, be inquisitive that way. Why am I thinking these thoughts? You know, you're about doing your business, and all of a sudden you got a sexual thought pop in your head. Also, you know, and it gets into a whole big visualization, and like, and you say, well, wait a minute, why am I thinking these thoughts? I'm not even engaged in sex here. Or you're doing on something, all of a sudden you get this violent thought coming to your head. And you got to think, well, why am I thinking that? Or you get this thought coming into your head of some anxiety. Oh, I might lose my job, or I might lose my car. I don't, you know, I might not make enough money, but whatever, you know. And it's like, why am I thinking these thoughts when I'm not even in that situation? These are the what if things that could happen, you know. Or you're driving down the road and you start panicking because you're in traffic and somebody might hit you and might smash your car, and oh, then your insurance rates are going to go up, and you get into this whole dynamic in your head. You got to ask the question, why am I thinking these thoughts? That's the programming that television has induced into you. That's the programming that the radio induces. Well, if times get tough, what happens if you have a flood? What happens when your power goes out? What happens if this, if you're not protected, if you're not ready, you could be put in a position, blah, blah, blah. It's always these kind of things. And those things can have some value to get you prepared. But when you start dwelling on these things all the time, okay, they're not your thoughts. Okay, not your thoughts. They are being pumped in, pumped through from someplace else. And you have to always ask the question, especially, let's say you're at work and you're doing a job and you're around people and all of a sudden they're saying certain words which are like keywords that trigger a response in your head. Think in your mind at that point, why am I thinking these thoughts? Is it because I've got a transmission, or is it because they set a trigger word, a keyword or a trigger word, that may be activating the frequency which is now inducing these thoughts in my mind? So I'm showing you what to look for. I'm showing you how to look at it. And you will get sucked in, no question. But the sucking in is part of the growing phase. It's part of the learning phase. You have to understand you are going to get sucked in. And then when you start seeing this, that you got sucked in, then you're going to get mad. You're going to get mad. I tell you a true event that happened with me. I got thoughts coming to my head all the time. A lot of thoughts were violent thoughts that were coming through. And I would stop them, but they already had me in it for like 5 minutes. And they kept sucking me into these things, you know, all the time. And I got to a point, I got fed up. Oh, I was so pissed off. I said, I was speaking Canadian. I'll give it to you. I'll leave it that way. I was speaking some real heavy-duty Canadian. And then I said, this is what I said. I said, you know what? You keep sucking me in. That's okay. But sooner or later, I'm going to get stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. So I'm of the mindset, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I said, I'm just going to get stronger and stronger. And you got to have that defiance and say the same thing. I'm just going to get stronger and stronger. There's a biblical phrase in the Bible referring to brass, and how God said, you know, the more you, it's like the more you pound, it's like the, I was talking about the people of Israel, and the more you pounded them, the more they were like brass. The more you pound brass, the harder brass gets, and it gets stronger and stronger. In that regard, it wasn't a very positive thing, but in this regard, okay, when they hit you, remember, it is what it is. It will make you stronger, and you may not feel like it. You may not feel you're going to feel bad. You're going to feel like shit. You're going to feel whatever you're going to feel like. You're going to feel depressed because you're being hit. You're just going to get stronger and stronger. Mark my words. You will get stronger and stronger. Now, I'm of the mindset that, you know, having God on your side, or you being on God's side, I guess that's a better way of putting it, you being on God's side, will go a long way. See, I don't believe anybody finds Jesus. I think that's a lot of bullshit. Jesus finds you. That's more the truth. I was at some friend's house tonight. We're talking about that, and I said the same thing. I said, one gal asked me, how did I find Jesus? I didn't find Jesus. I wasn't looking for Jesus. You know, Jesus found me. I was looking for something else altogether. I didn't even believe in God at one point in time. But Jesus found me. And that's the truth of it all. None of us find Jesus. Unless God sends us to Jesus, we don't find him. He finds us. So, you know, it's when he was picking his disciples, he went and picked the disciples. They didn't come and say, oh, Jesus, we're going to follow you. Oh, yeah, you're the one. No, that didn't happen that way. So I'm just going to point out to you this simple little thing here about, you know, maybe having a one-on-one with the Great One, and I keep referring to the Almighty. We're going to go a long way in helping you in this. Because when your mind is on God, when your mind is on godly things, it makes it difficult for a machine to try to take you out. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's what the Bible says. God before you can be against you. So if you're with God and you're thinking about God, and I'm not talking about religion, I tell you right now, I am not a religious man. I never will be a religious man. Religion will just screw you over. There's a difference between faith and religion, and having faith and believing in God and listening to what he says and trying to do what he tells you to do is more accurate than following any priest, imam, or vicar out there. All they know how to do is perform. Simplest way I can put it, perform. And if you don't know anything about God, okay, I always tell people go read the Bible. New Testament. See what Jesus had to say. If you never read the Bible, even if you don't believe, I think everybody owes it to themselves. Just read what he had to say. Then when you read what he has to say, and you hear what these guys are saying, you might find there's a little difference. Well, I shouldn't say a little. Wouldn't hurt. And I'm going to tell you, when you start thinking in godly terms, not religious terms, godly terms, machines have a problem with God. There's a verse in, I think, Luke or Mark, where Jesus was walking down the road with his disciples, and there was this guy that was possessed. It was called Legion, because there were many. I was talking to a buddy of mine out west, and he found something. I showed him a scriptural reference there, you know, and how Jesus, how the demons said not to be thrown into the abyss, because the abyss appears to be some kind of AI programming that was already in the earth at that time. It's what it appears to be. They asked to be thrown into the pigs. He said, go. So they did. Anyway, he found another reference, 2018, because this is when it happened, of an AI network called Legion, because they were many. And we thought maybe, just perhaps, there was a direct connection here. Maybe this guy was AI possessed. Demonic AI, call it what you will. And Jesus had power over that. Makes you wonder, is that coincidence? Is it just some sort of anomaly? I do not know. But it seemed like there was a correlation between the 2018 version and that version way back then. It seemed like a correlation. To me, it did anyway. And to him as well, saying, hey, maybe, perhaps, there's something here. So it says, looks like it. So take comfort in that. Learn. Educate yourself. Test all things. Hold fast to what works. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what works is what I say. Hold fast to what is good is what God says. So I'm not trying to paraphrase. I'm not trying to take anything from God's word. It's just how I see, that's how I work with things. Hold fast to what works. Hold fast to what is good. Start thinking in terms of godly thoughts as well. It will go a long way for a lot of you. Some of you might think it's a lot of hocus pocus and a lot of bullshit. Okay, put it to the test. I challenge you. How's that grab ya? Put it to the test. As I just said, test all things and hold fast to what is good. If you can make that comment to me that it's just bullshit, then I tell, and I'll put this right back to you, put it to the test. Put up or shut up. End the story. Let's see where it goes. And if you say it's coincidence, you know, that's an interesting thing that some people will say this too. And I'll tell you another story in the Bible. There was a guy that had an illness and went to a prophet, I think it was Elijah at the time, and he asked Elijah to heal him. So he did. It was one of the apostles. It was the New Testament. And the guy healed him. And he said afterwards that he said he did it himself. Maybe this is something I'm seeing too. Maybe this is wrong as well. I could be wrong in this one. So many things I've read. But anyway, if the story is true, one of the apostles healed this specific king or whatever. And he said it was himself. And it, what happened was, when he was healed, he fell right back to whatever he was into, whatever had him. I'm not sure it was Old or New Testament. I know there's a lot of them got healed. But anyway, the whole concept is this. Don't think something's coincidental when it's coming from God, or you may find you may get bitten in the ass harder than you thought you could ever be bitten. If you see something and there's a correlation of what's going on, you better hang on to it, because that is the reality. If there's any doubt, and there might be, because the program that's in the air will come along and try to create a doubt in your minds, making you think that, oh, it was just coincidence, blah, blah, blah. Because that's how we're wired. That defiance thing works two ways. Check it out. For those of you who don't know God, might be a good place to start. And don't listen to these TV evangelicals. Majority of them are Jesuits or Zionists, which are just there to rip you off and mislead you with all kinds of bullshit, telling a bunch of truisms. You had to hold the Bible, maybe read a verse, and all of a sudden there's some kind of tangent. You know, support people that are real. You know, if you're going to give them any support, give it to people who are real, that are actually trying to do something, showing you how to take care of yourself in a real, realistic way. Religious mumbo jumbo, we've got an abundance. Substantiation to what they're saying, I see so little. And that's how you have to understand. See, when we say you got faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the reason I've gone into this tangent, because again, these are the positive things that are you can use to fight these thoughts, these things that can come into your head. You know, we talk about meditation all the time, and I tell people all the time, you're going to meditate, you better wear a copper covering around your head so frequency doesn't hit you and cause you to get into some kind of weird, bizarro thought. The moment you start thinking something good, the moment you start doing something good, things will come against you. That's the program of this planet. Expect it. Anything you can do to shield yourself and your thoughts and in your head, any kind of shielding that you can prepare, build for yourself, do so. Do so. It will go a long way to keep helping you keep your head clear. When you're in thought about anything, and all of a sudden something bizarre pops in to disrupt whatever you're thinking, recognize it right away that this is coming from some outside source to come in to become a disruptive influence in your mind. It's important that you get what is being said and not think of it as some kind of religion. It's how you got to do the battle. This is how it gets won. Study, exploit, experiment, stand your ground. Like I said, I had a targeted individual come in and I saw all these things about, you know, autonomous weaponry and different things like this. And I didn't get into a whole lot on this, so I'll probably get in more of this maybe Tuesday or next time I do a show. But give you another example, AI codes its own AI child, artificial intelligence breakthrough. Can you imagine that? Oh, I want to talk about one thing, a couple things before I'll probably go a little bit longer than normal. I was watching a Star Trek, old Star Trek, Captain Kirk video. And it was called iMUD. if you want to understand artificial intelligence taking over mankind, that is it. That is it. AI is splintering itself through blockchain and other ways so that it is like a collective brain all over the planet. And as it encompasses different things, because the more artificial intelligence is about out and about on the planet, the more it learns and the faster it learns. Well, once it's splintered like that, it can now interact anywhere on the planet, i.e. Sophia is trying to, you know, talking about all the time, where machines and people can live in peace. There will be no peace without effing machine. End of story. War is inevitable. But when you look at this thing, and then we're talking, I think, 60s, late 60s, early 70s when they did this. iMUD, the AI system, comes out and states that they cannot allow a species like us to be out in space, that they would serve the people to a point where they would take over and control them. Control what they create, what they think, what they did. Now the interesting thing in there as well is they come up with a solution to cause the AI to crash. Really interesting. They gave it a logic. Cannot, everything is in the sequence of whatever. But the logic of what it displayed and what it showed, and the paradoxes, it could not handle a paradox. Paradox they gave it was, Larry Mudd is a liar. Everything he says is a lie. So the AI took that in. Then Harry Mudd goes to the AI, says, number one, he says, yes, I am Harry Mudd. I am a liar. The AI says, well, Harry Mudd is a liar. Everything he says is a lie. But Harry Mudd says he's a liar. So that means he's lying, which means he's telling the truth, which doesn't. And so it went back and forth until it finally fried itself, trying to figure out that paradox. My point is, it can be taken out. You gotta fight, and you gotta think, you have to understand, it is nothing more than a machine. That's it. Algorithms and databases. Nothing more. Bunch of wires, transistors, chips, hard drives, that's it. Has no life. It just operates on data. And this was one of the perfect things I saw. I thought, geez, it was so coincidental. I just turned the thing on, and I don't normally watch TV, but when I saw this, I thought, wait a minute here, let me take a look at this. And I said, holy jumping, this is all what we've been talking about, artificial intelligence takeover. Look it up. Old Star Trek, iMUD, it's about AI takeover. Watch it. Learn from it. Understand it. It's about turning the mankind into a complacent pile of mush, making it completely dependent on AI systems to be able to do everything for it, because it will serve you. Now, we were talking about music and frequencies and how music, I said in the last show, in the 1960s, we had sex and violence as the main objective in the 60s, and at the exact same time, rock and roll popped out, which was a frequency modulator that affected the affected what was going on. Well, lo and behold, I'm not kidding you. This is how everything falls in place. Synchrosity, I think it's called. They right after that Star Trek, there was a Buck Rogers in the 25th century. It was season 1, episode 19, called Space Rockers. And it showed how, by using frequencies, this is what I mean. They were showing us all this stuff way back then. We didn't get it. We didn't catch on. We didn't click. Now we're clicking. That they had these frequencies, and when they turned them on, the people would just respond to the frequencies, do things that was totally out of character, and did not even remember what was going on while it was happening. When they came out of it, like, they're like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Okay. That's the same thing I've been talking about tonight. Whole idea of frequencies. Anyway, there's a couple of links on there. I put them on and I'll post them tonight on the show. Please go look at them. Understand what I'm talking about so you can get the gist of what they've been saying to us all this time. What they've been, implying very heavily for a long period of time. And it's essential that you understand the nature of the assault and the nature of what can be done. Gave you a lot of information to think about. So dwell on that a little bit. Go watch these things and see what you can come up with. And again, if you find things that can help you become more invulnerable to the assault that's going on, share that with other people as well. Before I go on, I'm always talking about people that are doing something. Brian396, www.minds.com/Brian396, Aaron Mack on the YouTube channel, GagCanada.ca, AugmentEnforce.com, the YouTube channels I do at Herbs Plus Speedworks, and again, the Podbeams, independence.podbeam.com. These are places that I encourage you to go check out. Brian's got also a place where it's on the Google, I believe, let me see here, it's here somewhere, I got him down somewhere, oh, here we go, Nano Assembly Videos. You have to go to photosgoogle.com, it's got a big long link, but try going to photogoogles.com and see if he's got something there with Brian396, or type in Nano Assembly Vids and you may see stuff going on there. These are people that I encourage you to support. Check out their stuff. Learn from them. In my situation, I got a link called AugmentEnforce.com. I keep telling everybody to go check out those links. Check out the nano information. Check out the anti-nano bucket, the anti-nano triangle. Look at these things on the YouTube channel as well. I've got a catalog link there. If you're interested in anything I've got on the catalog, feel free to go check out what's there. If you can't build it, or if you need it, can't find it, give me a shout. I also do consultations as well. 519-977-5351 or independs@yahoo.com. If you're looking for a consultation, feel free to let me know you're interested and also tell me what time zone you're in or what country you're in so we have an idea so we can work things out. All right, till the next show, study, experiment, exploit, and stay defiant, so that you can maintain a proper functioning persona. All right, sleep well, take care.